get better. Ephesians chapter 6, and then also I want you to find Hebrews chapter 4. We'll start there this evening. Ephesians chapter 6, you got it? Starting with verse 14, Ephesians 6, 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, which is able to extinguish every fiery dart of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation. Now notice his next word. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Hebrews chapter 4. Turn there for a minute. Hebrews 4, verse 12. Tell me when you got it. Hebrews 4, 12. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing between even the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. As we get into this full armor, as doing battle, the word of God needs to be coming out. It needs to be sowed in and spoken out. Because that, I hear the echo here, turn it down just a little bit. The word of God is quick and powerful. How many knows that the word of God is sharper than anything else we could ever devise? Now, all of us have been hurt by words, true? How many ever had that assault upon you or your character? Somebody said something and it really hurt. Let me see your hand. How many ever saw that attack? It came and it wasn't expected. How many ever had an attack from somebody that you really know and you love and it still came out of their mouth? Those are the hardest things. It seemed like those hit you in the back and you didn't expect it. When it comes to words, they're powerful. Can you imagine the Word of God and the Spirit of God working together for a purpose? The Word of God is quick and powerful. Notice that it can cut between. It's a two-edged sword. It's one that can divide those areas. I've seen the Word of God work that all of a sudden the intents of hearts can be exposed. I've seen the Word of God work and bring truth in an area that, listen to me, had total darkness. When you got saved, somewhere somebody spoke the word. True? And you responded in faith, and look at this, it changed your life. When it comes to those areas, these times that we meet together, it isn't just so we can sit, listen to a nice sermon, and go. No, it's an opportunity for the word to do its work. Now, if I'm going to have surgery like you, I've had several, I want to make sure that the surgeon has a sharp scalpel. Say amen. Don't give me no dull butter knife and cut on me, baby. Make sure that thing is sharp. Make sure it's sterile. Make sure it's ready to go. True? Amen. Now, we have several nurses in here. Operational nurses will count each piece and each piece of gauze and each piece. How many knows that a mistake can happen and it could be sewed up inside somebody? Amen. Like that one commercial where the guy's got the phone inside of him and it rings. How many knows that would be bad? I thought it was a funny commercial. But the truth is that sharp scalpel. Now notice the word of God can do surgery in an area. Are you hearing me? Yeah. Cut out that which is not needed or bad and sew it back up to that which is good. Do you believe the word of God can bring healing to you? Then we need to take the word of God serious. When it comes to the full armor, we have this in the package. I'm so glad that God didn't leave us alone so we can think anything we want and do anything our mind wants to on our way to heaven. That this mind needed to be renewed. And God spoke it through the holy prophets. He wrote it down so we could have that. If you're taking notes, in 2 Peter 1 verse 21, no prophecy ever came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So when the word of God came, man recorded it, but God spoke it. That's the big difference. Isn't that awesome? How many knows that the word of God can be active and alive? I need and you need the word of God working in you. You need it to be working in those areas. One way you learn Scripture is you read it, understand it, and speak it. True? If you start to speak those things, you start to call on those things, the Word of God is active and alive. Now, all of you had enough faith given to you when the Word was preached and you received it, you got saved. So the biggest part of your life, boom, happened. Well, the rest of it comes by faith also. Many times we don't know enough in the area of Scripture to put that into practice. I want you to learn. If you need healing, go over healing Scriptures. Over and over and over and over. You've heard so many salvation messages, it's not hard for anyone to believe God will save. True? Yes or no?
Yes.
It's almost like, yeah, it's going to happen. Yeah, it's going to happen. God's word's going to be preached, people are going to get saved. The altar call is given, boom, it's going to happen. Why? Because you have the faith in that area. It's been exercised. You've been taught it. You've listened to it. You've applied it. We'll apply that in other areas too. I want you to start taking healing Scriptures and have the same faith that as God saved you, He can heal you.
Amen.
Oh, three amens. Come on. How many of us we need it? There's examples in Scripture. Notice people who really got down in faith. Notice people who said, I'm not going to be denied. Notice I'm going to get to Jesus. They always got what they asked. True? Yes or no? And there were people that, hey, some of them didn't have names even listed. They were just people who were hungry. But I noticed people who seemed like they had it all, the religious people who were exercising it, the doctors of the time, they didn't receive anything by faith. See, God wants us to have that in our hearts. The Word of God has to be alive and active. I read in Revelation 1, verse 16, he says this, at his right hand were stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. In Revelation 2, verse 12, it says this, to the angel of the church of Pergamos write, these things I say unto you with a sharp two-edged sword. In Isaiah 49, verse 2, and he made my mouth like a sharp sword, and the shadow of his hand hidden me. I became a polished shaft in this quiver as he hid me. Do you know what? That needs to go forth. Not to cut people, but to see them change. Any surgery the Lord does always is for health and not hurt. Amen? Well, you know what? In reading writings of people that have seen revivals happen, I have not seen one in my lifetime yet. 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 But every time there was all a great fear came upon the people. Not they were afraid of God, but they started to detest their sin. They started to say, man, I need to change my life. How many of us, we need that in society today? The Bible says a fool makes a mock at sin. When it comes to the church, we can't even placate that. We can't even say, well, that's okay. No, we have to see that change. Now, we love the sinner, but a sinner's only hope is Christ. We love those who've made mistakes. There's no doubt about it because we all fit that arena. But once we're saved, we must continue on. True? Yes or no? The gospel cannot be without power. When I marvel when Jesus went to his own hometown, and if Jesus could do very little miracles because of their unbelief, how many of those we won't do any? Yes or no? He says, I came to my hometown, you relegate me just to a carpenter's son. You didn't even recognize who I was. So he only laid hands on a few sick folk. Could you imagine what he wanted to do in his own hometown? I bet he wanted to explode upon it. I bet he wanted to bring life in those areas. Let me get to this. I wonder how many churches relegated him just to a carpenter's son, and he can't do anything in a service anymore. If you don't want the Holy Spirit to work in a service, he won't. He's a gentleman. If you ask him to leave, guess what he's going to do? He's going to leave. The truth is that the Spirit is subject unto the prophet. Now, hear me on this. All of us in this room can control ourselves in the Holy Ghost. The Spirit is subject to the prophet. When somebody says, I can't help myself, now I'm not talking about getting excited or sharing more. That isn't it. I'm talking about, hey, Pastor, if you don't let me speak, God's going to miss everything in this service. I mean, is that, come on. Your flesh too. Say amen. In a multitude of counselors, there's safety. Are you with me so far? Come on. I've been in services where people say, if I don't get to prophesy in the service is not complete. What kind of prideful statement is that? Say amen. How many of us that's in the prophet? How many of us that a little correction in love needs to be spoken? In Revelation 19, verse 15, it says, out of his mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword, and he'll strike the nations. Now, if you think Jesus is a wimp, here's what he says about him. He himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself will tread the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath Almighty God. That don't sound like some wimpy Jesus. When he sets up his rule, it's going to be his way. How many of us, that's a good thing? How many of us, that's a good thing? So when he sets up his rule, he's going to speak it out. But we have that power now. Since the enemy is double-tongued, he's a liar, we have to have the word of God upon us, which is a sharp sword. And if we can discern an area, you know what? Discerning things makes it easier to figure out what to do. Now, every great doctor, every great person, if they can find out what the symptoms are, sometimes they got a cure for the symptoms, true? But no man is a healer. There's only one healer. Are you with me? Now, they can treat things. I understand that. Things can get better. If Jesus can discern our situation, how many knows he can give you insight on what to do? He can give it to you. You can also speak to that area. Oh, when you agree with God in your conversation, it's going to be done. If God answered every one of our prayers, we'd be a big mess. Man, we'd have things all jacked up. This would be changed. This would be wrong. This would be here. We'd be running people over with our prosperity. I'll say amen. How many knows the Lord is good? God is honest. He's absolutely honest. I believe we need to spend more time praying for spiritual things that he said and let the other things take care of itself. Come on, you have an opportunity to pray for souls. You need to pray for souls. Get on your face before God. Come on, you have an opportunity to pray, Lord, give me boldness to share as I should. Pray for boldness. Pray for people to be blessed. Pray for God to move in their lives. And you know what Jesus said? If you'll seek first my kingdom, what's on my heart, then all these things that the world chases after, I'll add unto you. But too many times, Christians spend more time praying for all these things than that. Is that too harsh or just straight up? I want our church, this church, to be a soul-winning church. I want this church, our church, to be a church where it's a hospital for the hurting. It's also a nursery for new converts. New converts are like babes. Everybody who's had a baby knows what babies are like. Yes or no? It's cute, it's wild, but after a while, spit up is still spit up. And diapers are still diapers. Yes or no? You can praise the Lord all you want, but after 100 of them, it's pretty much the same. It just, what intensity? Say amen. Come on. How many ever had a time where you just need a bath? You're in there, amen? No cleaning that up. All right? But the truth is that's how new converts are. We have to be mature enough to handle that. I want everybody in here to be thick-skinned. I want you to be able to handle some criticism. Because, see, the enemy isn't going to play fair. If I said, hey, he's going to do all this, no, he's going to attack. He doesn't want you to be successful. He wants you to be lulled to sleep or turned aside or have a weakened hand. But in us, we have to have resolve to say, you know what? I'm going to speak the word of God. Now, what if somebody has a situation? The word is active and alive. Then, Lord, I speak that word in that situation. Amen? Now, if it's in me, it's in my heart, it'll come out of my mouth. I won't have to fabricate it. I won't have to, like, get on this guise of, like, well, I got to be spiritual now. It's just who you are. I want you to be you in Christianity. Not something that you have to turn into. It's something you are. Are you with me? In Psalm 149, verse 9, let the high praises of God be in their mouth, a two-edged sword in their hand. As we lift it up, you know what? God uses it. And we can use that sword as a weapon against the enemy. Truth always conquers a lie. The only reason more people don't get saved because they'd rather walk in a lie than the truth. And some people don't want to come to the truth that their deeds will be exposed. Are you with me? Every evolutionist will have to face one day Jesus face to face. And they will confess he is Lord. He was the creator. Jesus said, I created you in my image, not in the image of any animal. You've been made in the image of Almighty God. To me, it's a step down when somebody said, I evolved out of this. That's a step down. God said, I made you in my image. You weren't made after an idol. You weren't made of wood. I made you just like me. Isn't that awesome? When somebody goes that route, to me, it's a step down. Come on. And if we evolved out of that, what are we changing into? Notice we're still people even after a few thousand years. I mean, everything comes after its own kind. Yes or no? God still has that as a truth. When it comes to his word is pure. In Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise the simple. Lord, your word is true. Every word is true. Now, if you could get a bunch of truth in you, you can detect what is false. Amen? If somebody told you on the expressway, the speed limit is 15 miles an hour, how many here would go, I beg to differ. Today, if you drive the speed limit, you get overrun. Amen? How many realize that too? It's just true. No matter what speed, it's always faster. How do you know the speed limit isn't 15 on the expressway? It's posted, true? You can look at that sign and say, within reason, obviously if it's snowing out, it's all subject. You can still get a ticket for going the speed limit if the weather's bad. There's no doubt about that. But say the weather's good, it's nice and clear. You have a law abiding that you can say, I can travel this speed without fear of anything happening. True? Well, when you operate in the Word of God, you can operate in such a way you don't have any fear in what you're doing. It's the truth. And see, the enemy has to bow to the truth. When you're full of that area, you're full of life. When Jesus ever spoke to a situation, he always spoke the word of God. It is written. Amen? In the demonic realm, they have to line up with those things. You have to take authority in that arena and operate accordingly. This is what the word says. Satan, you have no hold in this arena. Because now it becomes a matter of authority. It also lines up spiritually. Is this making sense? Because now you have the authority of Christ given to you. Come on. You know, when Jesus talked to demons, he didn't have great conversations with them. You don't need to have it either. Go. Amen. The only time he asked for a name is because he was discerning what was going on in the situation. Go. Notice every time when Jesus said go, they left. There are times people think they're possessed, but if it doesn't go in the name of Jesus, you're prayed up and ready to go, maybe it's them, their own selves thinking it. Because the spirit was subject unto the Lord. I've seen that where people thought they were possessed, and it was more of an oppression. And I saw people totally out of control and instantly set free. Their eyes cleared up, their thought cleared up, they came to the right mind. I shared with some of you when we were in Puerto Rico. We had this gentleman, we were ministering in the city, and this guy would follow us around. He literally stayed like 100 yards from us. But wherever he went, there he was. We ended up in this big football field area, this big open area. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, I want you to stop. I want you to gather in a circle, and this guy's going to come right to you. He was 100 yards away. He couldn't hear anything I was sharing. Guess what he did? He walked right up, and it's just like the Red Sea. The group opened up, and this guy walked right in the middle of the circle. There's like 20 of us there. And he looked right at me, and he was filled with the enemy, not in his right mind. And the Lord spoke a word to me. I want you to pray, rebuke that, and I will set him free. And there's 20 people around, so we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I looked at him. I looked in his eyes. They were parched. He was just gone. And I said, I want you to speak this. I want you to speak, Satan, loose me now. And he says, I can't. I said, if you'll speak it, God will set you free. I said, we're going to pray with you. He said, Jesus, set me free. Boom, just like that. I watched his eyes clear up. I watched him clothed in his right mind, instantly in front of everyone. Amen. Can God do that? Yes or no? Instantly, that power of Satan was broken. But what he invited in, God was setting him free from. How many of some people open themselves up to the spiritual side? That little friend, because nobody has one. I met a girl one time, she was locked in a closet her first 10 years of her life. When mom went away, she locked a girl in a closet. And she invited this friend to come live inside her. As she got into her early 20s, it began to manifest more. And I asked her when she got clothed in her right mind, how did you become possessed? She said, I was as a little girl and I was afraid. And I just started talking to every spirit that was around. And I invited this evil thing in me. Once she was saved, she realized what it was. How many of us, that's real? It's real. It's real today. But we have the authority. We have the authority to break that power. But that enemy did not leave until that guy spoke that victory. And boom, it happened right then. Amen? He wanted it so bad. And then the next team, we had two teams there. We gave the gentleman a Bible. We hooked him up with a pastor in the area. This guy was in the coffee shop around the corner, clothed in his right mind. And he was reading the word right in that coffee shop. The next team came by and said, you know what? That dude is reading the Bible in this in a place over there. Can God do it for anyone? Yes. He can clothe you and put you in your right mind. But notice that it's sharp. It's part of the armament that we have. It's what we have to use today. And if you use the Word of God as a skillful surgeon, you'll accomplish great things. It's not a matter of cutting people up. In Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you found to be a liar. Don't add to the word of God. Don't say, hey, this is what the Lord said plus. Don't add another book to the Bible. Amen? It's the word of God. It's jammed up there. And you know what? The Lord will find people out if you add to the word. But notice, every word is pure. Man, that's so different today. In Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise. Listen, that's so true. Lord, your word is true. It's pure. So if I'm walking with the full armor on, then I have to have that sword prepared. We all can have that, true? What if you come into church speaking the word of God? How about this? The word of God strikes with conviction and conversion. Father, I speak that, Lord, with conviction and conversion. When people get convicted of their sin, they're ready to be converted to Christ. That can be done in prayer. Now, this is going to be a charge for all of you because obviously you're here on a Wednesday night. I expect you to pray for services. I'm not going to call you up and say, hey, you're praying? Lord, rebuke you if you're not. No, I'm not going to do that. But listen, if you want things to happen, how many knows that we need to pray? Yes or no? Amen. It isn't all on me. Listen, there are times where I can sense when there's resistance in the spirit. I can sense that area where I know God wants to do something, but the enemy is pressing on. Sometimes it's just the flesh and people. Lord, I want to see that breakthrough. Amen. Every revival started off with humility. Somebody said, Lord, I need you. God, use me. Amen? I pulled that telephone pole out. Now, Lord, I can see the speck in my brothers. I'm going to pray accordingly. But I'm going to come against. Don't play fair with the devil. Come against his works. He's not playing fair against you. Use everything you have in your arsenal against him. But this is like a sharp sword. You can either bless men or curse men. Fresh water and salt water should not come out of our mouth. How many ever drank salt water before? You know if you have. Amen? I've done that. I've been at the ocean, turned my back, and wave knocked me over. tumble on that graveled sand and suck in water. And man, for the next hour, oh, Jesus. Oh, amen? I mean, that's not a good thing. Well, as a Christian, we cannot have both. We cannot have both. Then, Lord, let that fresh water flow. It's the only thing that is good and tasty. Taste and see the Lord is good. When I spend that time in prayer, I'm prepping myself as well as the environment. I need to see conviction come. True? Come on. I need to see it come. Converts are right after conviction. When I look at the Word of God, it's complete. If you're taking notes, in Revelation 22, verse 19, if anyone takes away from the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, for the things that are written in this book. How many of those, that's a true fact. People who have doctored the Word of God and polluted the Word, your name will be gone. That's how serious it is, the Word of God. You can't mess with what God says. That's why Jesus said, if you cause one of these little children to stumble, you send them to hell, it's better that you've never been born than cause one of these little ones to stumble. That's how serious it is. It's so serious that men and women of God lost their lives to give us the Word of God. Many of them were tortured, saying, you know what, I don't care what you do to me. That's how powerful it is. God had to speak words in every generation to get the full Word to go. Then Jesus said, I am He. I am the one it is written about. Then the New Testament came in His blood. This blood, it sealed the work. So all those holy prophets up to Jesus, and then Jesus comes and confirms the Word, then it's written in the church age. We're privileged to have what we have. We need to have this book. It's just not a novelty. Well, yeah, it's nice to read. Most Christians don't even read the thing. We have to be different. We want biblical results, and we have to be biblically minded. This isn't fun preaching, amen? Amen? Today, most want to come in, say something nice, Pastor, tickle my ears so we can go out and I can go back to my normal life that I lived before I came here. I mean, that's no change in that. I'm not living that way. My life is too short to be carnal on this planet. Come on. I don't want to waste time or waste your time. The truth is that we need God to move. The Word of God brings victory. It's the sword of the Spirit that cuts through the lies of the devil. It helps us live for Christ. We need it. Amen? Amen. As you started the verse off in Ephesians 6:17, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's the Word of power. In Romans 1:16, it says this, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. Lord, and Jesus, I need it. Amen? Amen? It converts the soul. It's the only thing that all of us will experience life-changing power operating in. Amen. Isn't that cool? Yes. It's the only thing you're going to see somebody go from death to life. Amen. And we all will experience that. I want you to experience it with me too. Amen. Here's the true fact. If you'll pray for service and be faithful, you'll have the same reward in heaven I will. I want you to have it. Not that I'm all that, but I know what I received. So I want you to share in that. I want you to partner in that. And the Lord will test it to your account. He'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. And everything I receive, you'll receive also. I don't have any problem with that. None at all. I want you to be rewarded in heaven. But there's going to be a cost. It will cost you time, talent, and treasure. It'll cost you when everyone else is doing this, and the Lord wants you to do this. Consider the cost. Amen. It's worth it. Amen? Amen? It's drawing aside. Amen. It's saying, you know what, I'd love to do that. I can do that on a different day. This is the time for the Lord. Amen. Give Him your best strength. Now, what if all of us in here, I just use a number, what if all of us in here spend an hour this coming week praying for Sunday service? Would that be effective?
Yes.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Can we start with that?
Yes.
Okay, you're going to do it. I won't follow up on this with you. You'll have to say, I'm going to do it. This is something where personal will and conviction has to set in. But if you'll do it, you'll receive. Lord, I want to see this happen. How about pray this Sunday for souls to be saved? Amen. People to be healed. People to be set free. People's eyes to be opened. The truth of the gospel going forth. Can we do that? Then pray in the Spirit and pray in your understanding also. Sing in the Spirit, sing in your understanding also. The Word of God is quick and powerful. God is absolutely true. All of us know that we have a belt of commitment. We have a breastplate of righteousness and holiness. We have the gospel of peace. It's our confidence. We have the shield of faith, believing in God. We have the helmet of salvation, which is eternal salvation. But we also have the sword of the Spirit. I have a sword. Teach me how to use it. Now, I've never been in a fencing class, but I've watched it. All right? The last Olympics that were there, I watched these guys. They had a little thing on the thing, and a guy goes, na-na-na-na, na-na-na-na-na. The steps matter. It seemed like three steps that way, three steps back, three steps. I don't know how they all do it. But it seems to me whoever gets it in there gets it. True? No one's ever won by standing back. Just take your shot. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Whap. Take it. Whap, whap, whap. Come on, you got something to use. And the more you use it, the better you become with it. So take what you have. Believe me, if you know Jesus saves and you only know John 3:16, somebody can get saved with that verse alone. That's enough to see somebody saved. How much more know that we have it in us? Look at verse 18. Turn it back to Ephesians 6. Hope you're enjoying tonight. Ephesians 6, look at verse 18. We have that sword of the Spirit. But there's more in this arena. Verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Amen. Now, in the Spirit just doesn't mean, woo! Okay? That's nice. You can get excited. But it's praying in the Holy Ghost. It's speaking in that language that God's given you in prayer to be effective. You pray in what you know, and you pray in the Spirit too. If you want your prayer life to expand, get filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. You can pray in the Spirit. You can add time to your prayer time. Amen? Amen. Paul Youngie Cho says that it takes him at least 4 hours to get breakthroughs before he preaches. When he goes to Japan to preach, he says that I have to pray a minimum of 6 hours just to get any breakthrough to preach at all. How many of that's in spiritual discipline? But when you got 500,000 people in your church, something must be working. Yes or no? And he's taught all his people to do the same, to pray. He says, my services start like this. It sounds like bees in there. People just speaking and praying. Just harmonious Holy Ghost manifestations. And when the altar call is given, he says this. It's nothing to see 5,000 people come to Christ. I want to see results like that. Amen? I want to see things happen that we've never seen before. It takes a collective group to do it. I have to move with you, and you move with me. That's the type of pastor I am. We all travel across. But notice that we pray in every season with opportunity and expectancy. Colossians 4:2 says, continue earnest in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. It means, Lord, you're going to do it. I have an expectancy. Hallelujah. Things are going to happen. You can have a song of praise. Praise always comes against depression. It's hard to be praiseful and depressed. Something has to shift. Amen? Even our grumpiness changes when we start to rejoice in the Lord. Again and again I say rejoice. How many wake up grumpy? 1, 2, 3. Okay, being honest. All right. How many about midday you start to settle in? Yeah, okay, cool. And by night you're ready to roll. Okay. All right, I understand that. I'm kind of the morning person, man. I can get up and woo! Get right to it, man. Ready to go. That's kind of me. I'm wired that way. My wife's like, oh, that's so nice. Just a little bit quieter. I have one volume. It's just loud. We're the noisy neighbors. We really are. We're the noisy ones. But the truth is that, hey, how you're wired, then work with it. If you're more alert later, then have that time devotion later. If you're an early person, then have that time. Work with it. The Lord doesn't really care the time. Just do it. Amen. But when the Bible says to pray in every season, then we need two. Luke 21, verse 36. Watch therefore and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Pray. Oh, Lord, I want to be worthy. Amen. Sometimes you need to do a little checkup from the neck up. How is my brain? Well, how am I thinking? What am I doing? Sometimes you need to humble yourself, say, Lord, and be honest with this. Lord, if there's anything in me that's displeasing, let me know. Reveal it to me. And see, the Lord isn't going to blast you like a lightning bolt. He's gentle and meek in heart. But if you've asked him, he'll help you. He'll show you. Be obedient to it and say, Lord, I'll change. If you look at the correction in Revelation chapters 1, 2, and 3, every church he gave an opportunity to repent. He told them where they're missing it, where they need to change. But he also said, if you don't, this is what happens. So like all of us in this room, if you're praying honest, God will help you. He'll help you with any weakness and any struggle. But if you don't change, sooner or later, it will have consequence. If you judge you, you won't be judged of another, because no one can judge like you. But you have to be honest. Lord, search my heart. That happens to every great man and woman of God. We need it. When you become prayerful, you become less sinful. True? If you boil down your time, Lord, I need to spend time. We have no reason not to spend time with the Lord. Amen? Here's the truth. If this gets more attention than Jesus, say amen. Thank you for the tool, but Lord, you're still Lord. Right? Every great prayer time will have an interruption. I guarantee it. Lord, I'm still going to spend time with you. When we pray in the Spirit, it unlocks those supernatural things. In Romans chapter 8, verse 15 and 26, if you're taking notes, when we don't know how to pray, the Spirit can intercede through us with groanings too great for words. So if I don't know how to even pray for a situation, I can pray in the Holy Spirit about it. And you know what? The Holy Spirit has the exact words for that area. Isn't that great to know? I remember one time we came up on an accident, and it was a bad one. People were thrown out of the car, just terrible. Ambulance wasn't there yet, so we stopped and we did what we could. And I remember this girl looking, she said, please don't leave me. I said, I'm not going anywhere. We had a blanket, I put a blanket over her. I said, the hospital's going to be here. But you know, I want to pray for you. Her eyes got super big. Would you please? I don't want to die. Say amen. So I prayed in the Spirit, and I prayed in an understanding also. Come on. The Holy Spirit can help you with words that we... How do I effectively pray for all of you in this room? How? I don't have that wisdom and understanding, but the Spirit does. It searches the heart of God. And then sometimes as I'm praying in the Spirit, the Lord will bring something to mind, like effective thing to pray for. It's like I become smarter than I was 2 minutes ago. I mean, I want to be smarter. The mind of Christ kicks in. Do you know what? That works in other areas too, and it works in practical things as well. God will help you in practical things. He cares about what you do. Amen? I believe this with all my heart. He can direct you to a sale. Why not? Amen? You get that cheaper, there you go. My wife and I had to stop by Lowe's, and I walk by the clearance racks. I don't have any problem with it at all. I've looked in dumpsters before, too. Pastor, dumpster dive? Absolutely. Imagine what I found in there, amen? I remember one time this church needed some light fixtures, up north church, and I came across 50 light fixtures they were getting rid of from a building. I called the pastor up. I said, look, I got 50 light fixtures. Would you like them? He says, bring them up. They put all the light fixtures in their church for nothing. Wow. How many of those they were praying for God to do it? God shows up and did it. All men just took a little lurk. Well, lost all pride. Bless God. I'll jump in there. Thank you. And thank you. And thank you. Amen. Then I caught the guy at the door. Says, don't throw any more in there. I'll just back my truck up. Put them right in there. Can God do it?
Yes.
Get this. This auditorium was being renovated, and they had a big screen. This thing was 25 feet long with the full motor controls. It weighed a couple hundred pounds. I said, you know, are you getting rid of that too? He goes, yeah. I go, that's a little big for my truck. If I come back with a bus, can I shove it in there? I went and got a bus, a school bus, and we shoved it down the whole aisle. It went from the front cowl of the motor all the way to the back door. The guy got a screen for free. How do you think that was a great party celebration? In one day, God staffed the church with what they needed in equipment. Because somebody was praying for the Lord to bless and prosper. You'll enter into that in the Spirit. All of you will. God is able. You become unlimited in the Spirit of Christ. Unlimited. That means God can accomplish anything through you. Isn't that awesome? Oh, that excites me. That means there's nothing. In Jude 20 says this, but beloved, build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Spirit is like lifting weights spiritually. You become stronger in that arena. And we all need the strength. In a normal day, your strength will wane. And if you're under a spiritual attack or spiritual energy is being released, you know what? It's going to happen a whole lot quicker. Everyone in here will run out of oil unless you tap in and refill. Most people run with just enough without seizing, but God wants you to be full. Amen? And you know what? I'm living proof that you can have longevity if you take care of something. I'll just give you an example. I have a silver car outside. I have 298,000 miles on it. It doesn't smoke. It doesn't burn oil. It doesn't leak oil. It just drives. I have a goal to reach 300,000 miles. Hear me on this. I have original motor. I have original transmission. I have original starter. I have original radiator. All that is all original. How many think, bless the Lord, oh my soul? Yes or no?
Yes.
I think that's so awesome. God, you're so good. I've never had a car go that long in my personal life. Say amen. I'm looking at 300,000 miles on that odometer like, cool. Amen. Can God do it for everybody here?
Amen.
He's no respecter of persons. Now, do I need a new vehicle soon? Sure. It showed its age, but praise be to the Lord. Amen. Notice verse 18. Be watchful unto this end with all perseverance. Watchful means you're not sleeping. Ephesians 5:14 says, awake you that are asleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Listen, when I cry out to you in Psalms 88, verse 13, in the morning my prayers come before you. Lord, let me be a light. Let me be that example. With all perseverance, sometimes you got to grin, gut it out. It's easy to fall asleep when you're in that environment. Prayer cures all insomnia. Then make yourself uncomfortable. Amen? I read this revival. This gentleman sought the Lord during the Welsh revival. He had this little room. It was like 8x8. And he was going to pray that God brings a revival. He got on his knees, started to pray, Lord, work, God, change. Think. He looked at the clock. It's 10 minutes later. He ran out of stuff to pray. He goes, how am I ever going to see revival after 10 minutes? Say amen. And he said, Lord, I'm just going to trust you. And he stayed in that environment. He prayed for months and months and months and months and months. And God broke through. He'll do it for us too.
Amen.
I will live in a modern day revival.
Amen.
We will too.
Amen.
I'm not speaking this as vain words. I'm speaking this because it's a mandate from the King. He wants to do it. We have to saturate that area until it comes to glory, just breaks through. And every time you intercede, you're putting another crack in that area. And if we're about our Father's business, what He wants to do, He'll put His stamp of approval. I'm all for that. There's too many things going on in the kingdom. It's like, flesh. I'm into that. If we're into glorifying Him, we're into seeing souls saved, we're believing for what God wants to do, He's going to honor that. Every attack will come our way, but we continue with perseverance. That means consistency. We have an element of watchfulness. It's exercise in faithfulness. Supplications are special kinds of prayers. When we're open to the Lord, Lord, that I may speak the mystery of the gospel, that I may be bold. Search me, Lord God. Pat Vess is on my prayer list. Every single day, I'm bombarding heaven for her to be healed.
Amen.
Amen. She's such a humble servant. When she feels better for a moment, she'll send me a note. Pastor, I feel better at this time. I want to just say, man, I'm healed. She comes running in the building. Can God do that? Then we have to couple in and don't give up in that area. I'm not moved by what I see, but what I believe. Here's what the word says. Father, manifest that. Bring that to pass. We couple that with prayer and supplication. We're watching with all thanksgiving. We don't move when we don't see anything happen. That's what happens with most Christians. Well, nothing's happened. Must not work. God must not want that. Yes, he does. Persevere. If he said it in his word, you're according to his will, not your will be done. His will be done. He'll honor it. He'll move heaven and earth for it. Do you think Jesus wants to be number one in Michigan? Do you believe that? Then, Lord, I'm going to speak that because that's what you want. Does he want all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? That's what he wants. Then, Lord, I'm going to agree with what you want. No, not my will, thy will be done. Amen? It changes the whole outlook. We need to be more spiritually minded. Too many things are temporal. Too many things we set our hearts on, things that are temporal, and it's clouded out the truth. Can you handle one more thing? Allie sung about it today. We become ambassadors. Ambassadors in bonds. That means we're bonded to him. We're bond servants. That means what the king speaks, we follow those orders. We also bring it to the group. An ambassador is one who is sent forth, but also stands in behalf of somebody else. We have to represent them right. Amen? If you're an ambassador for the United States, you need to represent the United States right. That's the problem with our Congress right now. We don't even have order anymore. We speak evil of dignitaries. Whether they agree or not is irrelevant. We have authority. We also have obedience too to Christ. Amen? Come on, God set it up that we can have authority. Then we need to operate in it. I think things would get a whole lot done better if hearts get right and saved. True? Bickering has never accomplished anything. It always pushes it off to the next part. The church needs to operate in order because that's how the kingdom of God operates. Praise the Lord. As an ambassador, you know what? We have to walk in that area. Well, I represent him. Amen? I'm going to close with this. Your enemy, the devil, seeks in whom he may devour. Notice he's seeking for that area. He's looking for the open door. Shut them all.
Amen.
Amen. It's not a matter of having conversation with the enemy. You got to go in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Every evil influence, you got to go in Jesus' name. Take that sword and be ready.
Amen.
If you were out in the wild, how many would want 10 swords?
Yeah.
Amen. How many knows that's a good weapon against a lion? I'd rather have a sword than no sword. Now I just give up. Satan wins. How many of those Christians don't confess it? But if you don't have even dressed for battle, what are you doing? Any good commander would say, get your boots on. Put your breastplate on. Where's your helmet at? True? Why is the kingdom of God so opposite of that? Is it because the pastor's on R&R himself? Is it because he's undressed as well? When I see it today, the kingdom of God will be held responsible for what they do. Now I'm going to speak for the men of God. They also will be responsible on how they handled the position they were placed in. Were they after his heart or were they after their own heart? The Lord will judge that. But he made this promise to me. He said, Tom, in the last days, I'll give shepherds after my own heart. I will dry up things that are not of me. I will put down that which is vain and lift that which is holy. And I've watched him do it over the years. I watch the flash in the pans no longer be there. I watch the spiritual bottle rockets fizzle out. And only those who have dug in, that are faithful and preserving, are continuing to march. Praise the Lord. There are more that God wants to add to this army. We need to pray for it. We need more intercessors. There's nothing about it. We can't do it alone. Will you pray there? Amen? Yes or no? Let's pray. Let's pray for every area of the church, every ministry of the church, and every person in the church. Let's join together in this arena because we're in a battle. Amen? And that doesn't mean there aren't more churches and more people loving the Lord. I'm not saying that at all. There are. There's many. But I want to keep our focus straight. I have the Word of God. Now, if I have one Word of God, that's good. What if I get a volume of it? What if I get the volume in me and I rightly divide the word of truth? You know what? You got victory. Amen. My family was heavily steeped in the military. I remember as a kid, I had to roll my socks just like the military. I had to make my bed just like it. My dad would even drop a quarter on my bed to see if it bounced. That's how tight it was. I had no hair. I had brush cuts every time. The only haircut I ever saw was those razors. Have you ever seen the fingered razors with those giant fingers? It would take about 3 minutes to give a haircut to me. And I'd go, no hair. Amen? When I graduated from school, from college, I let my hair grow long. I really did. My hair was probably about to... And I went to go see my dad. Say, Dad, how you doing? He goes, I cinched it up. He goes, how you doing, son? And I could tell he was noticing it. I kind of gave him the side view, you know. Say, how you doing? Things are good, huh? He said, yeah, hair's a little long now, isn't it? I said, yeah, I kind of let it grow a little longer. I had such short haircuts all the time. I thought I'd let it grow long. Oh, yeah, that's nice. You know, we had a good conversation. And then one day I was driving my car. And this dude checked me out because he thought I was a chick. And he sped up. And I could tell. He looked at me and he went. I said, you know what? It's time to go. He really did. So that day it cut it off. Amen. But that's just a true story. He was so surprised when it was a dude. Amen. But God is good. Say, God is good. I'll close with this. In 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Here's our victory. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering has been experienced in the brotherhood around the world. Resist him steadfast in the faith in Jesus' name. You're not taking my families. You're not taking my friends. You're not touching my church. You're not touching my people. We have the victory in Christ Jesus. Come against that work in Jesus' name. Oh, somebody can get excited. Got to do that work in Jesus' name. Stand firm upon his promises. Resist him steadfast. That means you're going to hold there. You're going to stay there. And you're not budging. And Satan will have to do this. And he'll have to go. That's our victory. Amen. We'll shore up the wall. I'll take care of this part. I'll restore this. You do this. You do this. You do this. You do this. The whole wall is built up. Amen. Sometimes you'll have a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other. Sometimes you'll be a watchman on the wall looking over while others are laboring so they don't get hurt. Amen? Be like Nehemiah. I'm doing a good thing. I can't come down from the wall. It's going to be rebuilt. The church will leave triumphing. Amen. We're not limping out of here. I refuse that. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I'm leaving in power and authority. And many souls coming with us. Amen? Are you with me, church? Then will you pay the price in private that God can do it publicly? I ask you to do it. It makes my job a lot easier when I can feel that. And believe me, as your pastor, there are times the Holy Spirit will speak to me, say the saints are praying. You know what that does to me in my prayer time? It's like something goes off and you're like, oh, cool. Oh, cool, Lord Jesus. That's part of the kingdom. That's part of it. That's why Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Oh, I sent to you prophets. You didn't listen. Now I came myself and you still didn't listen. He knew that if they rejected him, they'd be lost for generations. He says, don't weep for me. Weep for your children. Weep for their children. Today, I really believe that he wants to do more than we could ever ask. I need us to be there, church. Will you join me? In your own private time, join me there. Don't be afraid of the things of the Spirit. Enter right in. Lord, teach me. He'll help you. He's the greatest teacher ever. You enjoying this series? Father, we thank you, Lord, if you would lift your hands. Lord, use us in the name of Jesus. Use us, Lord God, in the fullness of the gospel. Use us, Lord God, to see souls saved. Lord, to speak of your word, we use that sword powerfully, sharp sword, penetrate the darkness. Move away every lie, every thought and intent of the heart exposed. Oh, Lord Jesus, use us in our private time. Lord, to see that glory break through. Lord, we surrender to you tonight. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Father, I pray a blessing on this congregation. Lord, meet every need in each home. Lord, bless them, Lord God. Lord, of this long day, refresh them, Lord God. Give them the mind of Christ, the peace that passes understanding. Lord, honor, Lord, their commitment to you. And Lord, together we'll share in great rewards. In Jesus' name, amen.